The button, stupid. Thank you very much. Radio will never be the same. So Moab rebelled against Israel because Ahab certainly going against the things of the Lord. And we know that nations are going to rebel against other nations. There will be no peace when there's no direction, when there's no vision, when there's no protection of the Lord, that the enemy is going to rise up. And we see it in our own nation, and we realize that God has probably moved his hand from us, or at least pulling it away. And we see the nations coming against us, desiring to bring us down. The same was with Israel. So Moab, the Moabites, rebelling against Israel. And as Ahaziah, wow, fell through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick, so he's taken over from his father. He's not doing well, and we remember the prophecy in the last chapter that it was going to come against his kids, and certainly judgment is coming, because his kids were not going to follow after the right ways. They were going to go the wrong direction. But it says that he was sick, probably more of hurt in just dying from the injuries that were suffered. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So he's going to an idolatrous figure, an idolatrous icon, certainly not alive, but going to see what that God would say about his disease instead of going to the truth and going to hear what God has. And God is going to intervene, and certainly that's grace and mercy, because we realize that he didn't deserve God speaking to him. He wasn't looking for God, wasn't asking for God, but God intervened and just spoke to him anyway. And he's done that in our lives. He's spoken to us while we were yet sinners, spoken to us while we were far away from him, but always speaking to us about the things that we have, about the things that he has for us and the ways that he wants to go. And so it says, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise and go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. Doesn't mention him by name, just says, go meet the king. And Elijah's had this a lot, hasn't he? He's been told a few times, rise up, go to Ahab, speak to him, minister to him. And he's got to be getting tired of going to unbelievers and speaking things to them when they weren't going to listen anyway. But Elijah being faithful, Elijah in that place of arising to go and do that, Elijah in that place of listening to the word of the Lord and not paying attention to what he saw, in the discouragement of not having people pay attention. And certainly the same can be for us. It doesn't matter how many times the Lord sends us to places, to people who won't listen to us. If he says arise and go, that should be our hearts. We should be steadfast in that and faithful to that. And I think in the days that we're in, faithfulness should be even more, and steadfastness in who our God is. Not caring what the world would be saying, not caring what the world would be committing into our hands or wanting to commit into our hands, the ways of the world mixing in with the church. We should say, stay steadfast in the things that God has for us. And so Elijah, it says that the angel came to him and he said, go say this to him. Is it not because there is a God, there is not a God in Israel, that you go and inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but you shall surely die. And so Elijah departed to do that. Doesn't say that there was a hesitation. Doesn't say that he wanted to finish planting crops. Doesn't say he wanted to finish doing anything. He just arose and goes up to the place that God has told him to go. Just such a faithful man. And I just admire that quality in people that can listen to the Lord and then go instantly and do those things that he says. And so he rises up and departs. And when the messengers turn back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? So the messengers have come. Elijah has gone and spoken to them, told them the things of the Lord. The messengers go back to Ahaziah and minister the word to him. He says, why are you come back so quick? He knows something has happened. He knows they have a distance to go, and yet they're back right away. And so he says, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord. So he says that to them, and they go back. And how many times do we not pay attention to some of the people that tell us things? We know the media. We don't listen to the media. But sometimes the Lord uses the media just to show us things and just to teach us things. And yet there was an authority about Elijah where these messengers would not only listen, but then they would obey and turn back. And yet their mission from the king of the place that they were in, the ultimate authority in the land, that they would turn back because there was more authority in Elijah's voice than there was in the king's voice. Because they didn't obey the king, but they obeyed Elijah. One that they didn't even believe in. One that they didn't want to believe in. One that was an enemy of the land, as Ahab has called him. Are you the one that's troubling Israel, he says to him. And yet they turned because there was more authority in his voice and his teaching than there was in the king's. And they trusted him more, so they turned back and they go. And this is what he said, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered, he was a hairy man. They didn't even know the guy's name, but they knew the authority that was in his voice. And we can have that authority because we have the Spirit of God in us. And we can say it with conviction. When God speaks to us, we can say those words with conviction and know that the Lord is sending him forth. He was a hairy man, in girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. I mean, you remember people like that when you meet them on the streets. You know, you kind of move to the other side of the road and go down the other sidewalk because you don't want to run into that one. You got to get away from this thing. He was hairy. He had a leather belt around him, and he said, "It's Elijah the Tishbite." Whether he met him with his father, whether his father told him about him, and told him he was a hairy man, had a leather girdle, don't know, but he knew right away who it was. And then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. So Elijah not moved by the things that are coming, but these men come up to him. And notice the order. It isn't that he goes to them, they come to him. They come to hear what God is saying, but they're coming in the wrong heart, they're coming with the wrong way, and we'll see that as we go here. And it's interesting that nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. So he's just sitting on the top of a hill. Whether they come or don't come, it doesn't matter to him. He's just communing with the Lord. And it says, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. There was no pleases. No, would you mind getting off your duff and coming down the hill for us? There was none of that. They just said, come down, because the king says, come down. But he wasn't the king of kings. He was just a king that God had put in that position. Come down to my level and do the things that I want you to do. Speak to me the things that I want you to speak to me. He's already heard what the Lord has said because the messengers brought the message back, but he didn't want to listen to it. He wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, as it was. And so in verse 10 it says, "And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, if I truly am a man of God, if I truly am in this position of being God's messenger, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Whoa. That's scary to have that much power and to use it rightly. Not to use it wrongly, not to use it in a way that would be destructive, but to use it in a way that would be done rightly. We know that James and John, when they were with Jesus, and they didn't like what somebody in the town said, they went to Jesus and said, "Hey, you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn up these guys?" Wrong heart, wrong way, wrong people, wrong time. They didn't know how to use the power of God. It doesn't mean that they couldn't have called it and God would have honored it, but it wasn't in God's way. It wasn't God's timing. Elijah knew that this was from God, and so he trusted the word of God. He trusted the power of God, and he trusted that he was using it in the right way. And you know what? That's a depth of a relationship that, boy, I wish I could have, that I wish I was in right now. That I would know the power of God, how to use it, and how to have that authority of God in my life, no matter what it caused in people. And you know what? Sometimes the words that he gives us to speak to people are going to cause fire to come down from heaven. And we see what fire coming down from heaven can do. It can destroy, but it can also purify, because fire is there to purify. It purifies gold. It purifies silver. It purifies our lives. The fire of the Holy Spirit coming down upon us can purify us so that we can be used in greater ways by the Lord. Remember in the upper room, when all the disciples and the people of God were sitting in the upper room and the Holy Spirit blew through, came as a mighty rushing wind. And what was on everybody's head? A tongue of fire. Nobody could see their own, but they could see everybody else's. And they could see what it was doing in their lives. It was causing them to come under the authority of the Lord, to come under the power of the Lord, to know his power, and then to speak out his power around them. And salvation happened in the city. And everybody heard in their own language what was going on. And it was used by God for a purifying way and for a way of salvation. And here it's going to be a way of destruction for the things that are evil before them. And everybody goes, I feel bad for that captain and those poor 50 men, because they were ordered to go. But they could have gone with a different heart. We're going to see that as we go through. They could have gone with a right heart and not a wrong heart. There was one who came with a right heart. But you look at these things and you start seeing, you really have to know God's ways to know when to call down fire from heaven. Because we can't walk around Rochester. I mean, what would we do? We'd walk around Rochester, and if we saw something we didn't like, Lord, send down fire in heaven and just destroy them. He goes, but that's one of my anointed. That's the next Billy Graham. I don't care. He's doing something wrong. Smoke him. We'd use it in the wrong way. But Elijah knew how to use it and use it in the right way. That's why I believe, personally, not thus saith the Lord, I think he's going to be one of the two witnesses in heaven, because we see them able to call down fire from heaven when people come against them in Revelation. Don't know for sure. It's just my thoughts. So don't go out and say, Billy said. Elijah answered, if I be a man of God, if I really am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven. And what was the answer? That fire came down from heaven, so he is a man of God. Whoa, okay. And there came down fire from heaven, consumed him and his 50. And so the king looks, this guy's a bozo. And the people that are listening to him aren't doing too much better. Again, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. So he's a captain over 50 men. He sends him and 50 more men. He's going to lose his whole army if he keeps going. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God. So he calls him a man of God, just like the first one did. And he says, thus saith the king, come down quickly. He doesn't just say come down like the first one did. He says, come down quickly. In other words, do it now. Do it on man's time. Don't do it on God's time. God had a time that he was going to come, but it wasn't according to the ways of man. It was according to his ways. Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, can you imagine the soldiers as they hear him start? No! If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Amazing picture. Hold your place here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. You know the story. You know what's going on. But at the same time, I think it's good for us to recognize all that goes on here. Matthew chapter 4. The Gospels about Jesus and what happened. And we see that this is going to take place many, many years later, but at the same time, it has the same kind of picture. But it says in chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, recognize anything? O man of God, if you truly are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And what's he saying to him? Come down to my level, which is what the soldiers of the king were saying to Elijah. Come down to my level and speak with me here. Don't stay on your level, because remember, he's on a hill. And the Lord always wants to raise us up above the things of the world. And the king is telling Elijah to come down. Bring your values down. Bring your authority down to my level and not to the level that God has put you. And isn't that what Satan is trying to do to Jesus? He's trying to bring him down to his level. And for those that are in cults that say that Jesus was the brother of Lucifer, ain't no way. You're not reading your Bible if you're saying that, and you're in church. It's not even equal. It's not there. Lucifer was a created being. Jesus was always with God. He was and is and always will be. He's from eternity past to eternity future. Always was, always will be. Not a brother of Lucifer. Not a created being. The tempter comes to him, if you be the Son of God, command. And here's the same thing. Come down. Bring yourself down to my level. Command that these stones be made bread. Use your power for something useless. But he answered. And of course we know that every time Jesus answers, he answers with a word of God that was written. And he answered and said, it is written. And it's from Deuteronomy. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. The flesh shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. As those words come, let every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God be our feeding. He wants us to feed on these things. To feed on these things, because remember Jesus at the well of Samaria with the woman at the well. The disciples went to get food because they had no food. He sends them away because he knew they were going to get in the way as he was trying to speak to the woman. And so they come afterwards after he's done talking with her, and she's run away and left her water pot, her necessary thing that she came out for. She leaves that and runs back to the city because she had something better to contain water in it than an earthen vessel. she had something greater. And they came and said, we got food. And he goes, I've got meat that you know not of. And they didn't understand. As he teaches his disciples, and sometimes we don't understand, but it doesn't mean that God isn't real, that God isn't true. We just need to come up to his level and have him show us what is true and what's real. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And always for us to do God's will. We always cry out, Lord, I want to know your will. And usually it has to do with, should I buy another house? Should I buy another car? Should I marry this bozo? Or should I get rid of this bozo? Should I do something? You know, we always come to one of those places of something that's interesting in our lives that we want to have happen instead of finding out what God's will is. When we pray, we always pray with our shopping list, and then we don't listen to what God says to us. And he says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. So it's up to us and it's for us to find out God's will for us. And his will for us is to do his will. Well, Lord, where do I go today? We need to go to him to find out. Because that's the only right way. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then the devil taketh him. And it's amazing that the Lord would allow the devil to take him. And yet he knew what he was going to do. He was going to redeem everything that Adam and Eve had fell from. He was going to redeem everything in the world. And he was going to redeem it in the way that would just break Satan and just show the world that Satan is really nothing. In fact, Scripture tells us that when we see him, we're going to say, is this the one that deceived the whole world? We'll probably do it with a Jewish accent, but I can't do it for you. The heavenly language. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. The holy city. Whose city is it? God's. What's Satan trying to say? I want this city. Always wanted to do what God had. Always wanted it. Always a deception. Always a counterfeit of what God has said. He takes him up to the holy city. He sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, the highest place. Here, I'll put you in the highest place. Isn't it wonderful that you're in the highest place, that you're higher than everybody else, that you're better than everybody else, and everybody's looking up to you? As he just tries to trick him and minister to him and saith unto him, if you be the Son of God, there's the phrase again, cast yourself down, come down to my level, come down to a lower level. For it is written, and he uses the word of God to come against Jesus. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. He uses his word, but he uses it wrongly. And Satan can use his word. That's why it's for us to know his word, not just to memorize his word, but to know the application and the spirit of that word. Because that's one thing that really tricked the Jews and still tricks them to this day, is the commandments were there, but the commandments can't save. The commandments, the law, can lead you to Jesus and show you your need for Jesus, but it can't bring you into the promised land. Only our Joshua, our Jehovah Shua, our Jesus can bring us into the promised land. And he fulfilled every part of the law, but he did it rightly. He knew the spirit of the law. He told the Pharisees that you err concerning the scriptures. You don't know the spirit of the law. You just know the law, but not the spirit of it. Has nothing to do with the legalistic mindset. It has to do with the freedom that God can give you in that and to keep the word of God. Because we can't keep it. We already have seen that. And so he's going to give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. The angels are going to take care of you, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. And you really have to stop and think, if Jesus is God and he jumped off the pinnacle of the temple, do you really think he would crash at the bottom? Just a thought. You could think on that for a few centuries and find out. And then Jesus said unto him, it is written again, so the second time, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, tempting by using the word of God in a wrong way. And isn't it crazy that people in the churches, and it should be no surprise to us, because people in churches are still taking the word of God and twisting it wrongly and using it wrongly in their churches to teach wrong things. Ooh. And there's dominionists out there right now, and they're getting stronger and stronger in their teachings. Rod Paisley, for one of them, don't listen to him. he's a dominionist, but he controls you. He's the intercessor between you and the Lord. The Lord has showed him great and wonderful things. He showed him the body parts of the new creations that we're going to be. He says, I've been there. God has shown me. So I'm showing you and I'm telling you. So you need to listen to me. Scary things. Be careful. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. So the third time he comes to him, and the third time he tempts him. And the number three is important, because what happens in Scripture is it tells us that the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the devil. Three things that will destroy us. And what does Jesus defeat? The three things that the enemy brings. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He defeats those three things. Because of the word of God, not because of who he is, even though he could have. But he does it to show us that we have power in that as long as we walk with our Lord and towards our Lord. Just an amazing thing. And Elijah's in that place. And we see the fire come down from heaven and consume those men because God's power and authority over him. What a relationship that man had, as he sat before him and meditated on God's word and used it rightly, and the power that God gave him for that, and the power that we can have. Not that we want to go around calling down fire from heaven, but the power that God wants to give us to live this life rightly. We have power over sin. What did Jesus say? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You have freedom not to sin. That's a lot of power. Because look at how quick you can fall into sin. It only takes a second. Go out on the road. 2 seconds and you're there. And you're ready. Your husband, your wife says the wrong thing to you at the wrong time. Amazing. How quick we can fall. We don't use that power that God has given us not to sin. And Satan looks at him and he says, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms so that they won't have to go through the history of the world that's coming to pass. As one commentator has written, looking into the future. He says, you can spare dying yourself. You can spare all the people of the world if you just fall down and worship me right now. But the trouble is, Satan is the father of lies. Do you think he's telling Jesus the truth? Never. And that's what we have to remember. That's what we need to remember, is that God is all-powerful, not the enemy. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I'm not going to serve you. I have one to serve, and it's not you. Oh, and that is for us to take it to heart and use it in the right way. So we see these things coming to pass. We see how Satan has tempted Jesus to come down, just like the people with Elijah have tempted him to come down. Come down to our level, use the ways that we have, and show us the things that are important there. And oh, Lord, help us to stay faithful in these days, because there's so much crazy stuff going on out there and so many crazy things even in the church. Lord, help us to stay steady and steadfast, unmovable in your word, and to trust you and you alone. So he calls down fire from heaven back in Kings here. And the fire of God came down from heaven, consumed him and his 50. So come down quickly. And then we see the third one come, and this is a whole different scenario then. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. If I was one of those soldiers, I would suddenly get sick. Sorry, can't go. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in your sight. O man of God, he calls him the same thing. You're a man of God, but he bows before him. He bows before the God of all creation. He bows in that sense before God Almighty and says, I want to submit to you. And we say, well, it wasn't the right way. I mean, he's still a captain of the king. He isn't a captain of the Lord's army. But he's doing it with a heart that says, I'm bowing before you and I'm going to serve you. I'm not going to command you like the other two did. I'm going to be different and I'm going to serve the true and the living God, no matter what position I'm in. Oh, and just what a difference in hearts. And the Lord will honor that submission to him. Even if we're doing it in the wrong way and coming in the wrong way, we can still have that honor of the Lord, who he is, and he will honor that in our lives and in those lives of the people around us. We saw Ahab, who bowed himself before the Lord in 1 Kings, and the Lord repented of the evil he was going to do to him and allowed him to live a little bit longer, instead of destroying him right away. He said it was going to come to your children, and here we are with his kids. And it's ready to come upon him because his kids were not going to turn. But it says in verse 14 then, behold, there came fire down from heaven, burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight. As he looks at that, and can you imagine, you got to think a little bit, did this captain have relatives and the other 100 men that were burned up? Did he know them by name? Did they used to be part of his battalion or company? Did he go through training with them and he knew them? And yet he realized in that place that God was right, God was real. And he still bowed himself before him. Instead of being angry with God for what he did and shaking his fist at God, he bowed before him. God always gives us opportunity to turn from our own ways and to come to his ways. That's why it's so amazing in Revelation, after all the things that have gone on in Revelation, after the 7-year period of tribulation, that people still stand up and shake their fist at God instead of bowing. But you know what? There's going to be some that do bow, because there's going to be the greatest salvation thing going on in the world during that tribulation period, because people are going to be getting saved. Because otherwise there wouldn't be martyrs. And yet the enemy's killing them. So there's going to be great salvation that goes on there, because people are going to say, and these are unsaved people that are going to say, Antichrist, no. They aren't going to vote the Republican ticket or the Democratic ticket. They're going to vote God. There's going to be no tickets in heaven. And by the way, your politics aren't going to save you, and they aren't going to save this nation. The only thing that's going to save this nation is God intervening. That's the only thing. It isn't going to be because Trump gets elected or Biden gets reelected. It's going to be because God intervenes. That's the only way we're going to save the nation. So pray, not for a man, pray for the man. Pray for God Almighty. And so he says, let my life be now precious in your sight. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Yes. And so this man bows himself before him and his life was precious. It's amazing. In an instant, this man went from being a captain of an ungodly king and following after an ungodly king to bowing before a prophet and saying, Almighty God, let me live. And he lets him live. I think this guy got saved. I'd love to see him in heaven, but we might someday. We got eternity to find out who he was. So
you guys must have been pretty happy.
I'm sure they kept looking up, waiting for the fire to come down. It's amazing what you see as you picture it yourself, you know. What if you were one of those 50? Hey, Captain, you better find out something to do right away here. So he said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Oh, excuse me, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid of him. And why would he say, don't be afraid of him, unless Elijah was afraid to go down? Because the Lord never tells us anything without knowing our hearts beforehand. Was there some fear in Elijah, even though he's a man of God and had power and authority from God? Was he afraid to go down? Was he afraid to see? We know he was afraid before because he ran from Jezebel. Was there still some fear issues there? And there is for us too, isn't there? As we get the news from our mechanics, it's only going to cost you $3,000 to get your car back today. But hey, who cares? Let's go. There's always a fear there, isn't there, with every decision. All the things that are going on. Don't be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord. And notice he doesn't change his message. He doesn't tone it down. He doesn't dumb it down. He gives him the message that God has given. He doesn't change God's word. We can't change God's word. We don't want to change God's word, because if we can change God's word, then his word doesn't mean what God says it means. We don't want to change his word. For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? That's why his word is so important for us. We need to inquire of his word. And we should do something with those that phrase there, inquire of his word. Ask him about his word. Lord, what does your word mean to me right now today? What is your word doing for me today? What direction do I have in it? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off the bed on which thou art gone up, but you shall surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And we'll have to stop there today, but in Isaiah 55, why don't you turn there, Isaiah 55, and we'll finish up there as we see what it says in Isaiah. It's a short chapter. We got time. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, and come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are we spending so much on that which isn't going to satisfy us? And your labor for that which satisfieth not, hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. There's an effort that goes on here for the people that are listening to him. There's an effort that Isaiah is bringing to them. There's active verbs that are there for the people that are listening. Pay strict attention, he says to them. Pay diligent attention. And how many times do we read the Word of God, but as we're reading it, we hear the telephone ringing, somebody else is listening to the TV, and we're listening to the program while we're trying to read the Word. Everything is going on. There's people walking by our streets with the windows open. We hear them going by, and they're talking. We're trying to listen to their conversations. No wonder we can't hear the Word of God. We're distracted. He says, pay diligent attention. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. So seek ye the Lord. Another verb for us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Another verb. While he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Just like the captain of the 50 did. He came, and the Lord showed him mercy. He could have done the same thing to him and then told Elijah to go down. But he showed him mercy because he's a merciful God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And he looks at us as he tells us about his word. And he says, for you are going to go out with joy. Why are we going to go out with joy? Because Jesus is our joy. He's the one that brings joy to us. He's the one that has joy. It never says this about the enemy. It never says this about Satan or the love of the world. It never says that it's going to bring you joy. It says it's going to bring you pleasure for a season, but sin isn't going to last. But Jesus' joy lasts forever. There's an eternity of joy awaiting us. Can you imagine? Everybody in heaven is going to be smiling. Instead of walking around like you just ate sour lemons. You know, you just... and you're going to be led forth with peace. Not with fear of war, but with peace. Not with fear of who's going to get elected, but with peace. The mountains and the hills are going to break forth before you into singing, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign. Notice that shall not be cut off. God's word, God's ways is not going to be cut off ever and ever and ever. And we have that heritage, we have that privilege of knowing that because of who God is. And that's just so wonderful for us. So Father, we're just so thankful for this portion of Scripture, Lord. It certainly does a work in our hearts. It certainly shows us things that can be, shows us ways that we could have with you, because Elijah was a man of like passions like you and I. And Father, we need that. We need to have that authority in our lives, not so that we can call down fire from heaven and act like big shots, but so that we can know your power and what your word can do and what your power can do in a person's life, and to be able to give that out to folks around us, Lord. The world is dying. It's lost. It's coming to a place soon where hell is going to be their eternity, Lord, unless they change. Elijah saw that, used your word as authority, and Father, some got consumed, but some got saved because of the authority of the word in his life. May we have that, Lord, for those that are around us. Again, not so that we can use it for our glory, but so that we can use it for your glory. And Father, minister to us and show us those ways and show us the importance of seeking you first and knowing your will as we go about our days. We love you. We thank you. Pray that you go before us as we go out from here, that we'd be witnesses in this dark and dying world. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.